I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Breaking news overnight. In an extraordinary turn of events, the United States has rescued the second crew member who was in the U.S. F-15 fighter jet shot down over Iran Friday. President Trump texting me directly this morning. The rescue was an Easter miracle. The enemy was large and violent. The rescuers were brilliant, strong, decisive, and as cool as anyone can be. The Iranians thought they had him, but it wasn't even close. And remember, we got two, but couldn't talk about the first. And that it would have highlighted that there was a second. Such a rescue has never happened before in so violent an enemy territory. It is usually not done because it is considered not doable. Such a great military like no other. Adding on Truth Social, open the effing strait, you crazy bastards, or you'll be living in hell.
I love it. I love it. And you know the woman reporting that? Kristen Welker. She is an NBC news anchor. But I think the fact that Trump texted her directly on it, she felt, this makes me look important. Well, it's an important story. And I don't mind that she got text directly. I don't know if others got text directly, but she wanted to put into the story, which I have no issue with, saying President Trump texted me and others, but me. And it was great news. But I will tell you, we have some in our nation that didn't really like the news. In fact, they did not want our pilot to be found alive. In fact, unless he's found by the Iranians and then either put on trial or tortured and killed. I know that is appalling to many of you. It is to me. And I'm not calling out names. But there are those in our midst that have that attitude. We are at a point in this nation. Are you listening? Are you listening right now? Are you listening? We're at a point in this nation where we have so-called Americans that favor Iran over our American forces. They favor Iran that's been slaughtering their people in the streets. And I don't hear them crying out, oh, the poor women, they don't care about women's rights. I don't hear them calling about all the poor homosexuals and gays in Iran that are being slaughtered. They don't care about, you don't cry about them either. That is a twisted, warped, shameful attitude, but more importantly, a treasonous attitude. If you don't like what I had to say, change the channel because you're going to get more of it. This is Larry Connors USA, hour number two, April 6th. And yes, we did have an Easter miracle yesterday by retrieving our second pilot that had been down deep, deep inside Iran. We'll get into that in more detail for you. But with Larry Connors USA, we're here every Monday through Friday, from 6 to 8 p.m., and you're going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. You're going to leave this hour with more information than you have when we began. And in fact, to that extent, let me raise you a question for you. Do you know what off the record means? Do you have an idea of what it means? If you missed our first segment, you might not have the correct idea. So if you missed it, I suggest you pull up the podcast, listen and watch later, and then share it with other friends. How do you get the podcast? Well, you go to News Talk STL. LarryConnorsUSA.com and LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we're streaming video. You can watch the program at Newstalk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Rumble, or Facebook. But everything does go up as a podcast later. President Trump said yesterday, and we knew this was already underway, but he made it clear. He was asked by a Fox News correspondent, Trey Yinks, you've often heard on the air with us. And he said that President Trump told me the U.S. sent guns to the Iranian protesters. And Trey Yinks was quoting the president as saying, we sent them a lot of guns. We sent them to the Kurds. And the president says he thinks the Kurds keep them. He went on to say, we sent guns to the protesters, a lot of them. Of course, his concern is that they go into the hands of the correct people and not taken by the others. The CIA has been working with the Kurds anyway. We're not necessarily pushing for a regime change, but we're looking for the Iranian people to be able to make their own decision. The majority of the Iranian people do not like living under the Iranian Ayatollah leadership. And we have decimated that leadership over and over again. Just over the weekend, Israel targeted, I should say earlier today, an Israeli airstrike hit and killed the head of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps intel organization. My God, how many more do we have to kill? They keep propping up other guys. Whack-a-mole, just put another one in their place. They're going to be targeted and killed. At some point, they don't want to take the position. But they're also going to be killed if they refuse the position. And Iran is saying we don't want any more attacks. Well, Trump made it clear we're going to continue and continue and continue.
We are obliterating that country. And I hate to do it, but we're obliterating it. They just don't want to say uncle. They don't want to cry, as the expression goes, uncle, but they will. And if they don't, they'll have no bridges. They'll have no power plants. They'll have no anything. I won't go further because there are other things that are worse than those two. And we might have, well, the thing, if I had my choice, what would I like to do? Take the oil. Because it's there for the taking. There's not a thing they can do about it. Unfortunately, the American people would like to see us come home. If it were up to me, I'd take the oil, I'd keep the oil, I would make plenty of money. And I'd also take care of the people of Iran much better than they've been taken care of. It's been horrible. They've killed 45,000 people as of a month and a half ago. 45,000 protesters. We don't do that. So if I had my choice, I'd keep the oil. But I also want to make the people of our country happy. I think most people wouldn't understand that. I'll give you an example. Venezuela has worked out so incredibly. We have 100 million barrels of oil right now in Houston being refined. It's been great. The relationship with Venezuela, the leaders, has been fantastic. And I think we're going to have a long-term, very good relationship.
The president made it very clear that tomorrow we will go after Iran's civilian infrastructure, power plants, and bridges. He's telegraphing that to them, mainly so Iranian innocents can get out of the area if they're allowed to. Your power plants and your bridges. Now, already we're hearing some on the UN stage say, oh my God, that's going to be wrong, the Geneva Peace Accord. You cannot destroy things that people will need. Well, we don't want to, but if that's the only way to shut down the regime or for the people to have a chance to take over the regime, then that's going to be needed. Trump said today, Iran could be taken out in one night. Did you ever doubt that? I had never doubted it. Iran's never doubted it. But we don't really want to because there'd be a lot of innocent collateral damage, civilians killed. But this is the way the Iranians, just like all their other terrorist groups have operated, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, they're going to hide behind the skirts of women and behind baby beds and under hospitals. But we could take them out, all of them. If we hit the power plants and the infrastructure, we've already taken down one of their main bridges. That's a key point that they needed to import, export weapons and things of that nature. It could come to an end if Iran would just, the leadership would either change or the leaders that are there will say and agree to inspections at any time that we will cease any nuclear efforts of building weapons. And we will cease and destroy our missiles and our suicide drones. That's all it would take. But they don't want to. And Trump points out, the citizens, they want us to be there.
They'd like to see us win and come home. And I appreciate CNN for the first time maybe in my life. They did a poll. And everyone's saying, oh, is Trump losing MAGA? No, I'm not losing MAGA. MAGA loves what I'm doing. And CNN did a poll of MAGA voters, a big poll, very important poll, Harry. And he went on, he said, this is amazing, 100% support. He said, I've never had a 100% poll at anything before. And is, do you support Trump, MAGA people, which is, by the way, mostly Republican. And if you look, I would say MAGA makes up a majority, like about 95% of the Republican Party, all right? So they went out, they did a poll, and CNN came back 100% support. So they support what we're doing, but they would like to see it end and come back. But remember, wars last years. We're in there for 34 days.
Now, again, that's the Trump U.S. citizens. And yet the headline you find on the CNN headline, as I'm looking at it right now, an analysis. Trump can't make his mind up about the Strait of Hormuz. He's already made it clear. First of all, NATO nations, this is more important to you. You should come take it. We're going to get in that discussion later with Secretary of State Rubio in this hour. But then what do the Iranians want?
The Iranian people, when they don't hear bombs go off, they're upset. They want to hear bombs because they want to be free. And the only reason they're not out protesting, you know that, is because they were informed that if they protest, like the wrestler and his friends, if they protest, they will be shot immediately. And that's an edict. That's in writing. If they protest, if they go out in the streets, they will be immediately shot. They don't have guns. You know, we sent some guns, but the group that was supposed to give, which I said would happen to my people, I said it, I called it exactly. We sent guns, a lot of guns. They were supposed to go to the people so they could fight back against these thugs. You know what happened? The people that they sent them to kept them because they said, what a beautiful gun, I think I'll keep it. So I'm very upset with a certain group of people, and they're going to pay a big price for that. But the Iranian people will fight back as soon as they know they're not going to be shot and as soon as they can get weapons. If they had weapons, not many of them, if they had weapons that would go in the other way, and you know what would happen? Iran would give up in 2 seconds because they wouldn't be able to take it. But in Iran, they have absolutely no weaponry, and they've been told point blank, if you come out to the street, you will be killed. As of this morning, and we have this on pretty good information, 45,000 protesters have been killed. Pretty bad.
And General Frank McKenzie makes a point that looking at what we've done to Iran already, we've got to be very satisfied.
Ed, they have the ability to inflict damage. They do not have the ability to gain mass effects. And by mass effects, I mean firing many, many dozens of rockets, missiles, or drones. I think that capability has been eroded steadily since this campaign began. And frankly, at about plus 30 days into this campaign, I think if you're at Central Command, you've got to be reasonably satisfied with where you are right now. In fact, Ed, when I was the CENTCOM commander, if you had given me this situation at plus 30 days, I would have rejected it as being too optimistic by far. So we've had good effect. Our effects are going to continue. It's going to be increasingly harder for them to launch missiles and rockets. We may not get to zero for a while, and I think there's still some time ahead, but everyone realizes that. But I think we're on track here. This campaign is moving very effectively, and I believe the pace will pick up every day.
And the Easter Sunday rescue of that F-15 pilot down deep inside Iran was frightening. The RG was offering a $60,000 reward, but if locals knew anything, they stayed silent. A military expert details probably how the pilot was surviving.
For 36 hours behind enemy lines, in the mountains of Iran, with a $60,000 bounty on his head and the entire might of the IRGC closing in. The ejection happens in fractions of a second. Both the pilot and the WSO ejected successfully after the aircraft was struck. The pilot and weapons systems officer drifted apart after ejecting their parachutes, carrying them to different locations in the rugged terrain of southwestern Iran, near the town of Lali in Khuzestan province. That separation, the moment the wind takes two parachutes in slightly different directions, is what turned a difficult rescue into a 3-6-hour ordeal. One man comes down in an accessible location. US forces find him within hours. The other comes down further, into the terrain, into the mountains, into the dark. 7,000 feet up, cut into rock and wind, a United States Air Force colonel sat alone with a pistol, a radio, and a beacon. He was bleeding. Not catastrophic, but enough to slow him down. Ejection will do that. The spine compresses. Limbs take a hit. You walk it off, or you don't. He moved anyway. Seriously wounded, moving anyway, in the mountains of southwestern Iran. The first thing SEER training tells you after ejection is this. Do not stay at the crash site. The wreckage is a beacon. It marks where you came from. It tells the enemy exactly where to start searching. Heat signatures from burning fuel, smoke visible for miles, debris trail pointing directly to your landing zone. True to his SEER training, he climbed out of the crash basin, away from the wreckage, away from heat signatures and predictable search patterns. He hiked about 5 miles, gained roughly 7,000 feet of altitude, and went to ground in a hide position, a rock crevice. All the while, he was being overwatched by MQ-9 Reaper drones keeping any Iranian pursuers at bay. 5 miles, on foot, seriously injured, gaining 7,000 feet of altitude in hostile mountain terrain while bleeding. Climbing. While IRGC forces were already mobilizing in the valley below with a $60,000 bounty and state television urging civilians to shoot on sight.
Climbing 7,000 feet to get away from them. His SEER training proving, well, survival, evasion, resistance, and escape. But we still have some leftists who really didn't want him to be found, not alive, or unless they were going to be torturing him. I hate to say it, but they exist. And how leftists continue to push open borders. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Previously, I've told you about dustless blasting, a special service offered by Wellington Environmental. It could work for you in your place. Recently, a crew removed a driveway sealer that had failed. The owner wanted to go back to the original concrete so it could be properly sealed. Dustless blasting worked. That homeowner is happy. Now, sometimes surfaces need pressure washing instead of blasting. In fact, there was an exterior stone fireplace cleansed by pressure washing. And when it dried, all the dark stain was gone. That stone had its original appearance. Wellington is versatile with blasting. Dustless blasting or whatever you need. They will evaluate and make a decision. How do you get them to your door? Very easy. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, making your world great. In fact, be safe, be well with Wellington Environmental. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Got a black magic woman.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Why would you say you support ICE?
Yeah, because they would get rid of these rapists and murderers that killed American women.
So are all of the immigrants that come into America rapists and killists?
Nope.
Oh, okay, so...
So let's get rid of these ones. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you support ICE removing them?
No. I support the condemnation, as you said, of a rapist. But you know, there are white rapists, there are black rapists,
there are white immigrant race rapists as well.
Okay, but again, there are race rapists of different colors.
Why does the color matter when it comes to rape?
You just made it about color. No,
yeah,
you did. You said ICE.
You brought up white rapists.
Right.
Okay, because you said that immigrants rape, right? So white
not
people
rape. I didn't say immigrants rape. I said these immigrants raped.
Those immigrants raped. What about white people that raped?
What about them?
Are there no condemnations for them?
Absolutely. We're condemning rape as a whole, but if these people wouldn't have been able to enter under Biden's open border policies, these women would still be alive today.
Right. So what about the people who are coming to America for a better life because they were experienced similar situations where they came from?
Yeah, they can come here for a better life. I'm all for legal immigration.
Legal immigration. That is the point the left cannot accept anymore. And yet it was not that long ago. It was not that long ago that Bill Clinton and Obama said, we are a nation of laws. We are a nation of immigrants, but we're a nation of laws. You must come here legally. And they threw the doors open for anyone illegally. And here's a reporter asking someone who is hell-bent on illegal immigration, and we're pointing out how many have come into the country that have committed crimes. She said, well, there are a lot of people already in the country that are committing crimes. That's true. And they should be rounded up as well. A crime is a crime. And if you're a rapist, white, yellow, black, red, green, I don't care. You should be rounded up. But the lunacy left wants to die on this hill that, oh, well, you're saying every immigrant is a rapist. No, we're not. But we're also saying every illegal immigrant who does commit rape should not have even been in our country. Do we have immigrants in our country who have now become U.S. citizens? Are here legally and commit crimes? Yes. Do we have native-born U.S. citizens committing crimes? Yes. This is an idiot reporter, and she's getting fed right back as this interview continues.
Okay, so our president here, his name is Trump. That's a pretty racist man.
How?
How?
Give me an example of
watch
his racism.
The news.
Just give me one example.
Just watch the news, sweetheart. There are plenty of examples.
Just watch the news, sweetheart. Give me one example that he's racist.
Okay, Trump has flat out, flat with the racism.
How?
Comments, concerns.
What comments? Sure. Name one comment that he said that was racist.
Okay.
Because if he's racist, I want to know because I don't want to support a racist.
So you support Trump?
I do, yeah. Can you tell me why he's racist?
She supports Trump.
be promoting you.
So we've been sitting here for nearly a minute now, and she has still yet to tell me one thing that Trump has said that's racist.
Okay, so if we're going to be quite honest, I couldn't give you a specific.
I know, you can't.
Oh, no, I'm not done speaking. I couldn't give you a specific because I don't pay attention to idiocy.
And
that's idiocy.
So if you're going to call someone racist, I think you should be able to prove it.
Yeah.
Watch the news.
Pull up a clip where he's racist. Go ahead.
Oh, great. I'm so glad you asked.
It must not have been racist enough to remember because you have to look it up.
I think there's we've got to find a term deeper and heavier than just calling them an idiot. Trump's a racist. Where? Show me where. Did he throw all the blacks out of the White House? No, he hasn't done that. Does he have any blacks even in his administration? Oh, yeah, quite a few. Does he have any other people of color? Yes. Where is he a racist? This is one of those stories they're going to repeat over and over ad nauseum. With all due respect to those listening, with all due respect, it's the dog returning to his vomit. There's nothing to be found there than what he's already thrown out. And these people are so TDS, Trump deranged syndrome, that they cannot find anything else to say. If I just say it enough, it'll become a fact. No, it's not. And your legacy media is not carrying your water that much anymore. And in fact, they're being remade considerably. And they're paying a price for it. In fact, I just saw a story. I want to go back and pull up here about reference to Associated Press. That the Associated Press is suddenly deciding that they're going to have to make some big cuts. You know why? Because no one cares about them anymore. They're not really doing their J-O-B. Not that they ever were. But right now, they seem to be doing less and less. So the Associated Press is reaching a point where they're going to have some cutbacks because they're no longer a viable, legitimate news source. And then the other thing is Rosie O'Donnell is returning to the U.S. for a second time after vowing, if Trump's elected, I'm leaving and I'm not coming back. This will now be the second time she's coming back. And yet they continue to insist Trump is a racist. Once again, the interviewer is trying to get some sense of any qualification, any legitimacy.
How do you guys feel about ICE?
Oh, all of these people are...
Thumbs up for ICE, thumbs down.
People that are against ICE.
You see, I'm asking people. What's wrong with asking people their opinion?
I didn't say anything.
Did you find the racist clip yet?
Wrong with that. I just said that there were people, majority of them here, are against ICE.
How do you know that?
Because I know them.
Well, he supports ICE.
You support ICE? Which one? You? You support ICE?
Oh, okay. I didn't think so.
What does ICE stand for?
Babe.
So you don't support something that you don't even know what it stands for?
Oh, I didn't respond for a reason.
Can you tell me what it stands for?
No, we're gonna go back to the Trump racism.
Right, okay.
They just cannot come up with any facts. There was a parody piece that was put together, and I'm give credit to Vic Parcelli's producer, Ken Williams, for finding this and passing this along to me. And I know you've heard the question, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? It kind of fits in the midst of all of this stuff because it's just nonsense after nonsense.
So because of Trump, I just lost my job. Yeah. In fact, my entire department just lost their jobs. I was one of the head research analysts in charge of discovering how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood. But according to our government, that answer doesn't matter anymore I mean, all those years, all that research.
Oh, my God.
He's just gone.
Just gone.
And you know the craziest part is now the world may never know the answer to how much wood could a woodchuck chuck. I'm sorry. Thank you for listening.
All the effort and time I spent studying this. You might as well have been studying it, how the earth is going to be wiped out by pollution and global climate warming and everything else in the next 30 years when we were predicting it 50 years ago and we're still here. And we still don't know how much wood a woodchuck could chuck if he was woodchucking. And then you get stupidity to this level. A Saturday Night Live star over the weekend on his program said, I see the president's going to go to the theater at the Chicago, Music Chicago being performed at the Trump John F. Kennedy Center. And he said, I think that's cool. And then mocks, what's the worst that could happen? You know what he was alluding to. And so did the audience. And they cheered as he talked about Lincoln's assassination without saying it and suggesting Trump be assassinated at the theater. And they were cheering. Our NASA astronauts continue their mission around the moon now, sending back some stunning pictures of Earth, some of them taken with their own iPhones that they were allowed to take on board. But we're getting pictures of the moon and Earth from farther out than ever before. And they're going to continue on a big loop around the moon on the dark side and see what they can get. And then when they come back around, get more. Keep them in your prayers. We've almost taken this like it's just another day in the space. We have gotten to that point, and yet at the same time, it's still very, very dangerous. Coming up, Secretary of State Rubio on the danger on this earth with NATO.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold remediation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
If now we have reached a point where the NATO alliance means that we can't use those bases, that in fact that we can no longer use those bases to defend America's interests, then NATO is a one-way street. Then NATO is simply about us having troops in Europe to defend Europe. But when we need their help, not their help, we're not asking them to conduct airstrikes. When we need them to allow us to use their military bases, their answer is no. Then why are we in NATO? You have to ask that question. Why do we have billions and billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars over the years, trillions of dollars, and all these American forces stationed in the region? If we can only use it, in our time of need, we're not going to be allowed to use those bases. So I think there's no doubt, unfortunately, after this conflict is concluded, we are going to have to re-examine that relationship. We're going to have to re-examine the value of NATO and that alliance for our country. Ultimately, that's a decision for the president to make, and he'll have to make it. We're going to finish the job here. As I said, we're very, very close to achieving our objectives on all of these things that I've outlined. But I do think, unfortunately, we are going to have to re-examine whether or not this alliance that has served this country well for a while is still serving that purpose, or is it now become a one-way street where America is simply in a position to defend Europe, but when we need the help of our allies, they're going to deny us basing rights and they're going to deny us overflight? I think these are very legitimate questions that we need to be asking, and this are going to have to be very carefully examined after this conflict is over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it begins by cutting the money we give NATO. We contribute to NATO through direct funding, their operational budget, and their indirect funding for national defense. As of 24 through 26, our nation has contributed 15 to 16% of NATO's direct, commonly funded budget. The only one that's equal to us is Germany. We're talking about anywhere from $567 million to $753 million in direct funding. Now, we had already, under a 2019 agreement, when Trump was first in office, he said, they're not paying their share, we're not going to pay any more. And all the other nations, oh my God, NATO will fall apart, the whole world will go into chaos. And you know who secretly liked that remark? The NATO leadership. Because they knew it would make the other nations pony up more, which they have. The U.S. share of NATO security investment was reduced from 22% to 16%. That's a big cut. And right now we're projected to share just under 15%, which would be equal to Germany, but we're no longer going to spend more than other countries. We're just not going to, nor should we. And yet we're still spending more on our defense, from our defense, than other NATOs combined. We're estimated about 60 to 62% of the total NATO defense expenditure, $980 billion. The other nations spending 2% of their GDP. We are the largest overall spender. Aside from all the numbers I threw at you, just know we're contributing more than anyone else. And we're going to need to go through that again. We're also going to have to take a close look at what's happening in our schools. And this is going to be at your local level. If you got school elections coming up in your school district area, make sure you cast your ballot and you're aware who's going in. In Idaho, they've got a state senator, Janie Ward, giggling or whatever. I could care less what her name is. But she's telling you that when your kids come into my classroom, they're really my kids.
We stand instead of parents. When your children walk into our classroom, they become ours.
No, they don't.
And
We
listen to their fears. We dry their tears. We celebrate their successes. And yes, we find a new way when they fail. And as you know, throughout this country, teachers have stood in the line of fire to shield your children. And they would do it in a heartbeat because those kids in that classroom, they're ours. They're ours too.
They're not yours. They're not yours. And too many of you are pushing them into transgender activity and accepting it. And then you've got the push that's going on in some schools that, well, we're not going to have any religion in here, but if we do, it's going to be Sharia. They want Sharia law in the schools and states. You need to be aware of this. A Georgia state senator, Don Dolezal, said, we are going to ban Sharia law as official ruling in any courts. None.
Hey, y'all, Georgia State Senator Greg Dolezal here. And this week I introduced a bill to ban Sharia law in the state of Georgia. Foreign laws have no place in American courts, whether that's our civil court system, our family court system, or our criminal court system. And Senate Bill 486 will ensure that only American laws have a place in Georgia courts. So if you support this, give your state senator a call. Tell them to support Senate Bill 486. A number of my Republican colleagues are co-sponsors on this. So if you see their name on it, give them a thank you. We are going to work to get this bill passed this year to ensure that in no way, shape, or form does Sharia law ever take place and take root in Georgia. Thank you all for sending me here.
And I want to make a point. Trump over the weekend and his message about what's going to happen in Iran if they don't get their act together. And at the end, he said, praise Allah. And a lot of folks, oh, my God, he's praising Allah. It was facetious. Do you understand a joke? He'd already given his Easter message, praise God and be thankful for that. And I'm going to let you hear that in its entirety, or at least a part of it, coming up in a moment. Because in case you missed it, it should put all this to silence for those who are thinking, he's praising Allah. He didn't mean it in that sense. Any more than when we hear that Gavin Newsom says, I'm not responsible for any of the fraud that is happening in my state. Listen to Gavin Newsom trying to defend what Mehmet Oz of our Department of Homeland or our Health Department says, what California has been doing on Gavin Newsom's watch.
With Dr. Oz. Might have, well, be living in Oz. Well, hospice, we've been after that for years and years before Oz was even on the scene. This is purely political. This is not about fraud and abuse. This is about the polarization, politicalization, weaponization, not just a grievance, but weaponization across the board of agencies and weaponization, the likes of which we've never seen from an administration.
7 hospice owners that were shut down yesterday. To put that in perspective, in the prior 4 years, the governor of California had shut down 4 hospices. We shut down 7 in one night. And I'll get news for you today. Let's announce and make it clear, everybody. We have shut down already, just in the last 10 weeks, 221 hospices in California. Yeah, in Los Angeles. Not even the state. In Los Angeles.
And Newsom didn't know anything about it? 220, and many were in the same building, operating the same building, giving, quote, hospice care. They were raking in federal dollars is what they were doing. This is what they have been doing with the money, and we know it. It's all been exposed. The assistant U.S. attorney of California says Newsom and the rest of them at the top have been ignoring this. They've never taken it seriously.
Yeah, in response to the governor, not good enough. Not good enough. They've not taken fraud seriously for over a decade here in California. They've let people out of prisons. They've decriminalized it. I call him the fraud king for a reason. He has reigned over billions and billions of dollars of fraud, whether we're investigating homeless fraud, EDD fraud, and now hospice fraud. It's going to be into the hundreds of billions of dollars under his watch. Remember, none of this fraud could happen unless California issued these licenses. California is responsible for administering hospice programs, licensing these doctors, and they are supposed to have passed regulations by January 1st of this year that were called by the auditor in California. He said California does not have sufficient regulations to crack down on fraud. He's refusing to implement those regulations because he doesn't want to own the problem. We're going to do our job. You're going to see a lot more fraud. We're going to work hand in hand with this task force, and I think it's going to be in the hundreds of billions eventually.
And you know what? Newsom still insists this is all political. You're just trying to do something political. Stop and look at the facts and the figures and where the money went and who took it and where it went to help or hurt people or didn't go to the people that really needed it. That's not political. That's accountability. It's accountability. The International Olympic Committee had recently announced that men identifying as women are banned from competing in women's Olympic sports. Fantastic. They finally came to that recognition. And they say this new policy, and it was a new policy, because they weren't allowed transgenders to compete in Olympic sports. They say the new policy is, quote, evidence-based and reviewed by experts. Well, you know who is as an expert who disagrees? Megan Rapinoe. That's right. The soccer player with the dyed hair. She says they're claiming they're following scientific evidence that the male body has distinct and real physical advantages. That's wrong. Says science does not prove that. And men who have transitioned to women have the same physical traits as women. That's a lie. And I just wish. When Megan Rapinoe, whatever her name is, was competing, that she had a transgender competing against her, she might never have even made the team, much less gotten the star treatment and the accolades she gets now from the left. She would have been a nobody. She might not even been able to warm the bench. But she never had to compete against a man. So she doesn't mind your daughters, your granddaughters competing against men. We do not let grade school football players compete against the pros for an obvious reason. It's size, weight, ability in all things. We don't even let high school compete against pro football players. College players will get their chance when they go into the pros, but they're not going to see it's going to be the same as college. I think she's hit her head on a volleyball one time too many. I say a volleyball on a soccer ball, doing one of those headers. I do hope you had a good Easter. And you know, in New York City, there was a great outcry and a pouring in the streets celebrating Easter.
Oh, come on. It's not going to be Mike Cigarelli that does it. But Jesus Christ of Nazareth is going to touch your mortal body, and he's going to heal you.
That that was thousands in Times Square. And President Trump issued his Easter message.
I'm proud to join with Christians across the country and around the world to celebrate the most glorious miracle in all of time, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his life, Christ displayed true humility. In his death, he modeled true love. And in his resurrection from the tomb, he proved that even death itself will not silence those who place their trust in Almighty God. This Easter, millions of Christians all over the globe will be reminded that because of what Jesus did on the cross, all of us can live every day with hope in God's promise, knowing that in the end, evil and wickedness will not prevail. In this spirit of joy and renewal this Easter, we also celebrate the extraordinary resurrection of faith and religion in America. In churches across the nation on Sunday, the pews will be fuller, younger, and more faithful than they have at any time in many, many years. Religion is growing again in our country for the first time in decades. Happy Easter to all. May God bless you. May God bless the United States of America. Our country is doing so well like never before.
And there are those out there saying, he's not a Christian. He's not a Christian. Look at his life. Look what he does. He's a sinner, just like the rest of us. I'm a sinner, but I'm a Christian. I believe in Christ as my Savior. And we did not elect a saint. We elected a man to be president. But he's willing to say directly, praise God, praise Jesus. As always, I thank you for listening. If you're new to the program, spread the word to your friends and neighbors. We'll be back here tomorrow at 6. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
Follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.